My next guest is only 16 years old, but already he's one of the most prominent climate activists in the United States. Chutez Cat Martinez is an environmental activist and hip-hop artist. He's one of a group of teenagers suing the US government over climate change. Chutez Cat, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy I could be here.
Tell me about the legal action you and a group of teenagers have taken against the US government. What's the basis of the case?
So the basis of the case is based on the U.S. Constitution that says that we have an inalienable right to life, liberty, and property in the Constitution. So we are saying that we are suing the U.S. government for violating that right, for violating our constitutional right to life, liberty, and property by failing to take action on climate change, by acting in direct defiance of their knowledge of the United States, which has had knowledge of the impacts of climate change for the last several decades, failing to act upon that knowledge. And we are also filing this lawsuit based off of the public trust doctrine, which is an ancient document written into our Constitution that says that the resources in our country are to be preserved and protected for future generations. And we see our atmosphere as a very important one of those resources that needs to be protected by having action on climate change taken by our elected officials.
How many teenagers are involved in this class action?
So there are 21 youth plaintiffs from the ages of 8 to 25. And every one of us has a different story, a different way that climate change has impacted our lives, our communities, our homes, our family. And it's a very innocent ask. We are asking for our political leaders that are supposed to represent our voices and our future to act to protect our planet.
Similar cases have had success at a state level and also in the Netherlands. Is that what you're hoping will be the basis of success for you? What's the legal advice you're getting?
Right. So we're working with a team of lawyers out of Eugene, Oregon, in the west coast of the United States. And all of our scientific data for our remedy, our climate recovery plan that we are proposing as a solution, is all the science for this climate remedy. The recovery plan has been done by some of the top climate scientists in the world, particularly a man named James Hansen, who was a former NASA scientist. And he has concocted a solution to get us back down to a safe level of fossil fuel, of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, by reducing our emissions by a significant amount annually.
Do you think people your age are underestimated, even, I suppose, by themselves sometimes?
Right. I feel like we live in a world where young people's voices aren't heard. And where now that we have social media, it is giving so many youth everywhere greater opportunities to connect, to share, to be a part of movements. I really believe that young people have a lot of power to create change. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. I've witnessed it in Australia with young people there. And it's just exciting to see more and more young people acknowledging the power that they have to create change and taking action upon that.
Has your task gotten harder after the election result in November? President-elect Donald Trump has said many things about climate change, which show that he's not enthusiastic about embracing some of the policies that you no doubt support.
I think I've always known that the greatest change the world has to fight for is never going to come from our presidents, never going to come from our political leaders. I just think it's going to make it a greater task for people to unite and come together and really begin to set aside the things that divide us in this movement to be a part of something that's so critical at this time in particular. We've got a lot of work to do, you know, and I think that Trump being elected just made the amount of work that we have to do very apparent and very upfront because of all the communities that he's threatening by denying the existence of climate change, first of all.
You say that you don't expect the action to come from a US president or from that sort of political level, but from a grassroots level. But of course, there is a contest on the grassroots level. Not everyone is convinced that this kind of action needs to be taken, particularly when there are risks to people's jobs. Do you have more work to do to get more people to agree with your position?
Are you referring to people's jobs as far as like fossil fuel infrastructure projects?
Yeah, and that's part of, I suppose, why it is a political contest as well, because people worry for their futures and the economic consequences on their communities.
Right. And if you look at a country like Sweden that has actively cut out 50% of their fossil fuel emissions and is now half of their country run on renewable energies, they have a plan to be 100% off of fossil fuels by 2040. Their economy is growing very quickly. And I think we have to wake people up in the United States and all over the world to the fact that we can grow our economies while pursuing renewable energy infrastructure. where a lot of people are afraid that, you know, we're going to lose jobs, we're going to lose money, our economy is going to hurt if we stop using fossil fuels. But the truth is that fossil fuels is a very finite resource, that it's not going to be relevant in the world for very much longer. So I do believe that the transition towards renewable energy has to happen very carefully, so that when people are losing their job because they can't mine for coal anymore, that they then have jobs to go to by installing solar panels and by putting up windmills and wind turbines all across the country, all across the planet. You know, being an activist and caring about climate change doesn't mean, like, you know, we don't want to grow or develop or have any kind of economic progress. There's a very important balance where I see climate change as a really great opportunity for us to transition and take the next step in human evolution, to turn away from burning dead dinosaurs and dead plant matter. The future of energy is not down a hole. Human beings are smarter than a fossil fuel.
Will you be meeting with Indigenous environmental activists in Australia when you're here in February?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping to get some time in Byron Bay, Australia, where I have a lot of connections. There's a lot of friends and family there. And there are Indigenous activists and leaders that I have connected with in the past, namely Carrie Ann Cox, who is an amazing activist and Indigenous leader in the communities down there. I think that's a very important perspective that we have to listen to. And my connection to my Indigenous roots, I think, really makes me very conscious of, you know, everywhere I go, honoring the land that we walk upon that does not belong to us, does not belong to, you know, people at all, but really to honor the Indigenous people that were here before us. So definitely something that I want to do coming to Australia.
Talk to me more about your Indigenous roots. What is your story?
Yeah, so my father is a descendant of the Mexica people from Mexico City, the Indigenous people that were the last to inhabit Mexico City before invaded and conquested by Spain. And my father has been in ceremonies his entire life. You know, since I could walk, I was learning our traditional dances. Since I could speak, I was learning our language, our philosophy, our history. And it had always been a very important part of me growing up. I was just in Mexico for a week with my family, studying, learning about further about our culture, our history. It's a very important part of my life. Ceremony is a very important part of my life. A reason that I am who I am today as well is because of my Indigenous roots.
I've got to ask, Shutezcat, you are 16 and you're already so active. Do you ever worry you're going to burn out?
Yeah, burnout is definitely something that I'm worried about and something I have to be very aware of to make sure that when I go to Australia, I'm doing all these, you know, very important speaking engagements where hopefully I'm going to be engaging a lot of people in Australia, talking about this lawsuit, talking about the movements that I've been a part of, but also I want to go surf in Byron Bay and make music with my friends there, you know? So I think it's just a balance, making sure that everywhere that I go, like, I'm 16 and I want to experience the world, you know? And I'm not just some activist talking head, like, I'm a kid that needs to, you know, go to school and learn and experience, but also have, you know, relationships and learn about life and, like, eat amazing food and travel and, like, meet cool people. And I think life is about using the opportunities that we've been given to live it to the fullest. And this opportunity of having a voice in the world has given me so many amazing avenues and pathways to see the world, to meet people. So I think balance is a very important thing for me in my life.
Balance is important for all of us. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Of course, thank you.
That's Shutezcat Martinez. He's a 16-year-old environmental activist and hip-hop artist, and he's one of a group of teenagers suing the US government over climate change. He's coming to Australia in the new year. He'll be speaking in Melbourne and Sydney in early February at events hosted by Think Inc. and the National Sustainable Living Festival. We'll link to those details on the RN Drive website.